It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 1:45. Where are we at in society? Autonomous killer robots have now gone rogue and are attacking humans. That's not good. At 1:30, we have some NFL news and notes, including the Texans signing another running back. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. Welcome to June. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope it is not too wet where you are. We're definitely to that saturation point where flooding has, happened in some parts of the area. We hope wherever you are, things are drying out a little bit before. I guess there's maybe more rain coming at some point, but hopefully you are safe and sound as we start June. Longhorn baseball, number two overall national seed, so they will host as long as they are alive pre-Omaha, and then of course they hope they head there for the College World Series. Texas in the tournament for the 60th time, and that is a record. Arkansas is the number one overall seed. All right, speaking of Texas and Arkansas, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We do it every Tuesday and talk to the great Jeff Ward. Go to jeffwardshow.com for more info. It's live each weekday now, part of the Hot Pie Media Group. How are you, sir?
Hey there.
I asked you on the way, before we got started, if you'd ever been had an object thrown at you, knowing probably what the answer was.
Yeah.
Since you played football for Texas back in the 80s, where Arkansas was a regular part of things, and when you said a whiskey bottle and I guessed Fayetteville, you just nodded. And
the kid was 12.
That was, come on now.
You mean throwing stuff thrown at me that's not in Austin? My own fans?
Right, exactly. Did that ever happen?
No, but I've been booed at home.
Okay.
I mean, it comes with the job, though. It's like fourth and two. I was the last person you really wanted to see, so boo. I get it.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. You're getting booed just for coming onto the field, not because
just
you missed a kick.
Booed just in general, yeah.
Right. Have you come
in? It's continued throughout my life, I've noticed. I've noticed the chat box here. Same thing still going on.
If you hit the winning kick, that's when they
love then it's
you.
Cool. Otherwise, get out of here. Who wants you?
Do they even remember if you tied a big game and like got it? Y'all didn't have overtime back then, so you couldn't even preserve an overtime game, right?
Yeah. Right. A tie is a tie.
Which sucked.
When you kick field goals, it's same as relief pitching. Nobody really knows unless it goes horribly wrong, right? Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, the psychology, it has to be like relief pitching. All I have is the job I can do. It doesn't matter what the score is. This is all I can do. I can't. So you'd have to learn to be completely disconnected.
Right.
It's the secret. Yeah, Fayetteville, I mean, they suck now, so it doesn't matter. But played a game in Fayetteville, staying in Fort Smith, which I have no idea. Just that all the whole place looks the same to me, right? It's just all Deliverance. And it's just a bunch of woods. And so I guess Fort Smith is 30, 40, 50 miles away. So we don't get a police escort. It's a midday ABC game. And they're pretty good then. They were in the top 10. I think we were 10, 12, something like that. And so we don't get a police escort. And we show up in Fayetteville and are running across the field as they're finishing up their warmups. And this is a TV game. So we, throw the gear on, head out, try to get some warm-ups in. And, so they had this entire end zone section. It's really a disturbing thought. I don't know if it's disturbing. Just a bunch of kids in that end zone.
Like college kids?
No.
Oh, no.
Like small children, but I don't know. They could be anywhere the age. They looked like small children between 6 and 30,
okay.
But they all looked the same. Okay. It's really not okay.
That doesn't sound
no,
okay.
No, it's not okay. And I just said Deliverance, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's not okay. You look over there, and it's just kind of a blur, and you just block it out. So they all wear the little hog hats, and they spit on you, and they throw the bottles at you. So remember our equipment guy, one of our equipment guys, he's down there. He's catching balls in pregame. He's got a blue jacket on. I have no idea why it's wearing blue. And it's just covered in spit. And I mean, he's just covered. So we go in, don't even really get a pregame in. But since the game's on TV, you hear the knock at 2:28 or whatever. Kickoff's at 2:35, some deal like that. You hear the knock on the door. It's the officials. You know, Texas, it's your time. That's what they say. They knock on the door, and it's your time. You go out. And then they hear the knock again. He says, Texas, it's your time. And then I hear our coach yell back, "We'll go when we're damn well ready to go." So they had dead air for a while.
Akers was probably pissed at that point.
Pissed. Yeah. For good reason.
Sure.
And we ended up beating them. Like 15-12, 15-13, something like that. It's pretty close game.
Those were some big-time games back then.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember coming out of pregame, or whatever was left of pregame. So I go out there and I tell our equipment guy, I said, "Man, I got to go warm up." He says, "We're going to be the only people out there." So it's just the two of us, and it's 85, 80, whatever, thousand of people that all look just alike. Right. And, I mean, it is horrific out there. So I'm jogging in, got the mullet going on. And I mean, I see that coming from the upper deck, that Jack Daniels bottle. I mean, it was a perfect spiral coming right at me. I step back, boom, right in front of my feet.
Whiskey still in it?
No, it's all gone.
Empty whiskey bottle.
Yeah, the children drank it.
Wow.
The children.
That was breakfast.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Man.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there was stuff coming from, I mean, it was.
So.
It was brutal. That place is just, it's not even that the people boo you. I mean, I never cared about that stuff. It's just, it's time warp, man. Like, you feel like I just went back to 1955.
Right. Ugh, man. And they go back this year, right? They go back there, Texas?
I don't know. Yes. I mean, I don't know what this is. This is when they mattered more. Yeah. I don't know if time has changed. There for a long time, there was that just obsession with Texas. Kind of thing.
Oh, I think the hate is going to be there.
Is it still, you think so?
Time.
Yeah, you're still going to get the drunk 12-year-olds hurling whiskey bottles at Texas players. It's just the team is not as good.
Yeah.
So I think that the rabidness of the fans is not going to last the entire game.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was, once the game got going, it was a pretty cool environment and pretty crazy fans and It was a fun place to play just once you got the game going. It's that pregame thing when they're there hours ahead of time. You look around and go, "Oh my God, you really don't have anywhere to go but here. This is it. This is you sleep in the stands." So your whole family's over there. Look, this is just, it was just a sad statement about life in America.
It all came in a clown
car. Yeah, it's just, I had to take time to take it all in. A kid from West Austin, I'm looking around, I'm thinking, this is not okay. There's got to be some legislation about this.
I would never tell a Longhorn to go there willingly. It doesn't seem like a safe place.
Yeah.
Talking with Jeff Ward on the horn. So when you think of those times, now fast forward here, we're talking about this NBA stuff where it's multiple fan activities and the popcorn and the spitting and throwing water bottles and stuff. Like, what's your reaction to seeing those things?
Okay, I don't know that. I mean, I'm sure there's... You're going to have to get some PhD on, but I think it's post-COVID amateur hour. It's like traveling. People that, one, we've been cooped up, not excusing the behavior by any stretch, but people have been cooped up, they're going crazy. Mm-hmm. Seriously going crazy. Number two, I think a lot of stuff that's going on is amateur hour. There's people getting liquored up. Southwest just said they're going to stop selling alcohol on flights because somebody punched a flight attendant in the face. I mean, just later out, because I think it's crazy amateur hour. Cooped up people with free money getting to travel for the first time.
And now it's hold my beer.
Yeah.
Watch what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So I think they announced yesterday they're going to stop serving alcohol. So I don't know. I don't know what that analysis was. I don't know if that was Freudian or not.
Oh, you mean on the planes they're going to stop?
Yeah.
I thought you meant an NBA game.
No. I mean, I'm sure... At some level, there's probably some cop somewhere suggesting they do that, but they're not going to do that. I think it's the same kind of mindset. I think it's the same post-COVID psycho mindset.
I haven't thought of this question, but is there a cutoff point? Like
is that Freudian or is it Jungian?
I don't know which one that is. Is there a cutoff point like in baseball where you can't buy alcohol anymore at basketball games? I don't go to enough basketball games. Is it like end of third quarter in the NBA or something? Any ideas? Trey, you ever heard of that? Is there a cutoff point in the NBA where they don't let them serve alcohol anymore?
Fourth quarter, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay, so there's probably something like that.
Yeah.
There should be if there's not.
Yeah. No, I think there's some psychologists out there listening, Jungian or Freudian.
Or both.
I don't know. I think it's a combination of just being cooped up and people going crazy. I mean, really going crazy. And it's amateur hour.
Some people,
it's like in Vegas. It was amateur hour in Vegas. Like, what are you doing in your NASCAR shirt?
Some people think that the league has become a little bit too disconnected from their fans as well. Like they've given so much to the players at this point that they've neglected the fans in the process.
What does that mean even? I don't even know what you just said. You know what you said?
I think what it really boils down to with the fans is making all sorts of concessions to the players at the expense of the overall good of the game and also the fan experience.
Blah.
The game part of it is tough to define. I would love to talk to a fan about their experience. Has their experience been hurt enough that would somehow
heard
explain?
Or hurt?
Hurt. Like, has their experience been damaged enough that they feel like, here's my response. I'm going to throw a bottle at Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And you're a flawed human. Do that anyway. I mean, so the score's out of control, so you thought I'd just beat somebody up?
Right, or throw a bottle, or throw popcorn.
That's a you problem.
It doesn't justify it. I'm just saying that's one line of conversation right now is that the NBA's relationship with its fans is pretty broken.
Why? And what is the argument behind the relationship is broken?
I don't know.
That's such a brilliant hypothesis. I just needed something in between that.
I don't know
what's so wrong with the experience.
The experience that would be like a night in and night out experience. I'm not sure. What I wonder is, does the fact that the product has become about super teams and the superstars get to do whatever they want, has that somehow affected the fans? Because again, Kyrie Irving used to be their guy in Boston. He just walked off the floor. He stepped on your logo as part of a super team.
Yeah.
And does that piss that guy off that's why?
I really thought when he gave his Gandhi-like speech after that, I felt like that wasn't such a horrible thing to say, except you forfeited that right when you acted like a fool yourself by stomping on center court. I mean, I thought he was going maybe in the right place. I have this other theory. This will really, you may want to turn the screen around now because I'm about to go MAGA hat on you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, turn the screen. Turn it right now. I'll give you time. Turn
here we go.
Before it starts. The MAGA hats come out of the woodwork.
I am not.
But that's the same thing of hooligans in Europe. And so they're not fans. They're like terrorists. They just, when I was playing soccer in Europe, this was a big time of hooliganism. But the hooligans weren't there for the game. They weren't mad because our team lost or you're for your team. They're finding a place to go beat some people up. Life sucks. Things are horrible. The job's not coming. You're toothless. Any number of reasons. And it's just an excuse to a place to go and fight some people. And I think there's a percentage of that that goes on in this country. I mean, the hooligans, they weren't voters. Most of the people that raided the Capitol on January 6th didn't even vote. They're just hooligans. They're just there because their life sucks and they want to take it out on somebody and they happen to be going to sporting events. I don't think we have as much of it in this country, but I do think there's a stripe of that in this country.
Yeah, and maybe in specifically the...
It's just sort of gang mentality, right? It's just like, my life sucks, and I'm going to go where there's a bunch of people, and then I kind of get lost in a storyline, a narrative that I'm for my team, but I'm really not for a team. I'm really just a punk criminal.
So on the lighter side of this discussion, and we'll get to next time we have next week, we'll get into the
union.
We'll get into Bernie Sanders trying to get guys unionized at the college level. But I want to get your thoughts on give me the lighter side discussion of the guy that just wants to run on the court, jump up and touch the backboard.
Yeah.
He gets tackled. Like he's kind of in that streaking category.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but streakers.
How do we get rid of this self-importance? How do we get rid of this?
What's wrong with streakers? I don't see the problem in streaking. I think it's just let people run around.
Just the self-importance of it, Jeff.
Right?
That's what bugs me. It's not
What's
about
wrong with that.
It's not about them. Can't you just go to an event and enjoy the event? When I go see the Stones, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about Mick.
Right.
I'm not gonna throw something. Mick,
right.
I'm not gonna spit on
right.
Mick. You know,
TikTok,
right? I'm not doing that. I'm not.
No,
doing...
this is TikTok. It's look at me.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that was Jungian.
Now that was.
Yeah, how about that?
Deep. That was deep.
Yeah, thanks.
That's what concerns me.
That's all I knew what to say.
It concerns me as a 46 year old person who would just like to watch an event.
Yeah.
We can't do that anymore. Apparently.
Do you really care? I mean, I don't care about streakers. Do you care if somebody streaks? I mean, just let it go. It's a skinny naked guy anyway. Let them go for a couple minutes. Let's go. That doesn't get in the way. Well, you're bothered by that they're ruining your show. Is that what you're saying?
I'm bothered by the
narcissism
of the show and the narcissism.
It's the narcissism, yes. I think that is the psychology here. Maybe it's a mixture of the hooliganism and the narcissism. There's no doubt there's a level of narcissism that says, look at me. I mean, I think that's TikTok wouldn't exist otherwise. Social media would exist otherwise.
So now is that worse than where...
God, my face is hurting. This is so deep.
Because when I was growing up watching the occasional guy streak, it felt like it happened once every 1,000 games or something, and we all moved on. Now are there just more people out there because they have followers and they feel like it's important
for people to see them? Yeah, well, I mean, the streaker at the Super Bowl was no longer just some hippie, hairy streaker, right? Just wanted to be naked for the sake of nakedness. Just see my nakedness. That streaker had like a message. He was like on TikTok or something. So yeah, I think that's all into that.
Dude had a website.
Yeah.
Needed to promote.
Yeah, and a big fat belly. He had the porn site. Like people couldn't find the porn anyway. Like they really needed him.
Missed the 80s
was
era.
Was it really a problem with the porn?
Missed the 80s era streakers. They just did it for the love of the streak.
Yeah, they just
loved
this love of the streak just to be ugly and hairy and naked.
Or Morgana.
Now
what about Morgana?
Yeah.
She walked out there, big chest, hugging dudes.
Just like what's happened to Austin. It's all been commercialized and narcissistic and we just don't have any naked hippies anymore. That's what you miss, right?
Leslie in a dress.
The NBA has a right to be worried because the stuff seems to feed on itself, right? One knuckleheaded act feeds on another knuckleheaded act, and they try to one-up each other, so it's pretty scary.
It's been like 5 in a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Because some guy's going to make – we all know this is coming. It's shocking it doesn't happen more often. That 32-year-old fat drunk guy is going to make it to a player, and it's going to end badly. Yeah. He's going to get laid out, and it's coming.
That's the part of it that it always feels like it goes back to they put the onus on the players.
Right.
They'll all go back to, you know, I was a part of the malice at the Palace. I remember the malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
I'm one of the very few people on earth that didn't have much of a problem with it because I'm thinking if you're a fan and you go right up to Ron Artest, if he decks you, he decks you.
Yeah.
You asked for that to happen.
You know, the worst, do you remember, it was a few years ago, was it a Nebraska game? Some frat dude who's throwing up on himself just gets laid out by this player.
Oh, that's good.
I mean,
I like the sound of it.
It was kind of a cheap shot almost, but so this frat guy is running around out there and
he
shoves
that.
Somebody.
It was like during warm-ups or something?
I don't even know if he's alive, but he got crushed. And I think that's where if I were the NBA or I were a professional league or I were an agent, I'd be worried and I'd still be sending the memo saying, I know they're going to try to get close. Don't lay them out. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
Because there's liability.
There's liability, and it's just going to be. It's exactly what the goon wants. He wants to go. Every frat guy wants to get punched by the football player. Sooner or later, he just needs to get jacked up by the player. It'll make his day.
So that's why I wasn't in a frat. I didn't want to get punched by a football player.
Well, I know
player.
You don't. But that's what that guy either wants to think he wants to start a fight, and then once he gets punched, he wants to sue.
Ugh. My
and
goodness.
that's where this is going.
The NBA product has its own issues. Basketball has its own issues.
Yeah.
Now it's this
right
on top of it.
I think it's feeding on each other. I mean, I think it's just
symptomatic.
I mean, it sucks. And I mean, the NBA, on the other hand, you really don't want some cop to lose it. And like, really, I mean, it's terrible behavior. It's dangerous. It's despicable. It takes away from the game, blah, blah, blah. But you don't want that fan to get really hurt.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Either a player's going to do it or a cop sooner or later is going to say, aha, it's time. I'm going Chuck Norris.
All right. Trey, you want to let him off with Chuck Norris or you got something else?
No, we're not going to do MAGA hat. We're actually going to keep it in the sports world today because I am genuinely curious to hear how you feel about this. So Naomi Osaka just withdrew from the French Open, which was essentially a result of her saying that she didn't want to talk to media during the tournament because of mental health issues. She got fined for skipping her first session, decides to quit the tournament after that. Are you okay, ultimately, with athletes being given the option to opt out of post-game press conferences and not have to face any sort of consequence?
No, it's probably not a good idea, and it's certainly not a good idea for tennis. The NFL can pull it off because the NFL is there. But if you're running tennis, you need the face. You need the conversation. You need the promotion. You need the marketing. You need it all. So if I were in a sport struggling to get back to where I was post McEnroe Borg days, when it mattered more, I'd probably be pushing my players and those in the industry to talk as much as possible. So, I mean, I feel terrible for her. You know what? All I could think of during the time was Ricky Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah,
you know, this is for people to just dismiss it and say you're a spoiled brat. I think it's completely unfair. But the reality is, if you're going to be in show business, we need you to be a part of the show. And the show means sticking your face out there and talking, even when you don't want to. So I think actually this is one of those times when both sides are right. That, I mean, I don't deny she's suffering. I think the fact that we know the story of Ricky Williams should tell you that somebody really suffers with that anxiety. That said, the game, the industry needs it. It needs the promotion. It needs the publicity. That is a sport that is built on superstars. It needs its stars to talk and be front and center. It's just the way it is. So, yeah, I think they have every right to demand it. I think they have a right to say, listen, you want to be on the record label, you got to go and promote the records. You want to make a movie, you got to promote the movie.
So should her next step then be to take 6 months off in the Aussie Outback taking hallucinogens?
Wow.
A la Ricky.
Well, now, Ricky Williams was ahead of his time.
Oh, I love Ricky.
I mean,
I love Ricky.
I hate what happened to him. I think it's outrageous. I think him getting fined was outrageous. Just think, if you stuck him today and he did the same things today, what would be the environment? Would he still be getting fined, I guess? Would there be more tolerance?
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot more understanding.
There'd be a lot more tolerance.
And that's what you'd hope to have here.
Well, Outback comment. Right.
Someone texted me earlier, you would assume tennis is going to respect a physical injury. In this case, there may be something going on the mental side. They need to be respectful of that and not threaten to throw her out of Grand Slams.
Well, again, I don't want to be a hard ass here, but I think they've got to think about their industry too. Yeah, they want her to be well. They want her to be comfortable. They want her to be front and center. But they also need their stars to be front and center. It's their business.
Right. Well, it's their business. They got to figure out a way to do that. But to me, working around that is not saying, well, we'll just fine you and then kick you out of the tournament.
Kick you out, yeah.
Because her in the tournament is what they need.
Is what they need. I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Now, I think you know, tennis faces, you know, the NFL realized I need quarterbacks because people want to watch quarterbacks. Tennis has to realize I need stars, mm-hmm. marketable stars, because all people care about are the stars. So I agree with you. Don't, you know, be careful about pushing somebody all the way out. At the same time, I think they've got to demand that their stars be front and center. I mean, it's what sells their sport.
Yeah, it does.
And the sports is struggling. Well, at least the men's side more so than the women's side. This is why the women's side is marketable. Is the stars have been out there. They've been front and center. They're marketable people.
That is Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter, live each weekday. Next week, we'll talk Bernie Sanders and unionizing athletes.
Okay, that sounds sexy. Yeah, that's great.
Now, that's his tease right there.
That's going to keep them here for a week.
Keeps them, yeah.
For a week, they'll be tuning in.
Thank you, Jeff
Scanning
Ward.
That dial.
Great stuff.
AM.
Great
scanning the AM dial.
Great stuff as always from Jeff Ward. We are on the AM there at AM 1260 if you want to check it out there as well. All right, coming up, we'll talk some NFL. Julio Jones says he wants out. We'll tell you the teams that are in that discussion. Plus, the Texans just keep on being the Texans. This is The Horn. Don't have to dig too far to find Trey's theme today. It's all about China, apparently. What's up, Trey?
So you know this song, huh?
I am somewhat familiar with this song.
Who is it?
This is, Phil Collins? No, not Phil Collins.
I think this speaks to just how big a piece of garbage this project was for this group. That you just guessed Phil Collins.
Yeah, I don't know.
Guns N' Roses.
Oh, from the Chinese Democracy.
This is Chinese Democracy.
Ah, it's the title track. This is not a Guns N' Roses album I have listened to. So I've heard okay things about Chinese Democracy, but I've never listened to it.
Okay, well, China is the key word today. That's because I am shamelessly promoting the latest episode of the podcast. New episode is with Josh Rogan, Washington Post foreign policy correspondent and CNN political analyst. His new book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. It's all about China's overt and covert efforts to take over the world and how plenty of countries are allowing it to happen, especially the United States. This book is very important. The chat is pretty good as well. Check it out at booksonpod.com.
All right, hope you're having a great Tuesday as we get June started here. We were just talking with Jeff Ward about a lot of different things, including Naomi Osaka. There's a story out today. Grand Slam tennis leaders have pledged to address Naomi Osaka's concerns about players' mental health. Probably a good idea in a sport that's that mental, and it is about one person at a time, and you can kind of leave them out on an island in a lot of ways. So Naomi Osaka withdraws from the French Open, and maybe there's a discussion to be had about those athletes and mental health. And first and foremost, I just hope Naomi Osaka gets better. It is a sport that can fry you mentally. Players have left, and they call it burnout in tennis, but they've had plenty of examples of that throughout my lifetime, and I hope Naomi Osaka is not the latest version of that. And I'd like her to play tennis for a while because she's really good at it, and she's fun to watch. So we talked about that story a little bit. Also, Texas baseball, number two overall national seed, getting ready for their regional. And the NFL, always on the on our discussion list around here. Of course, we bring you the Cowboys all throughout 2021, as we have for the last few years. The big name, couple big names out there in terms of trade discussions, Trey. One of them, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Nothing really official yet, although I heard some Denver discussion over the weekend. Could that be where he ends up? But Julio Jones is starting to pick up now. And for those that didn't know, I didn't know till I read today. Today being June 1st does matter, because if they trade him after today, then they will get a benefit in dead money. Instead of one big hunk of dead money, they get to cut the dead money in half, pay part now, pay part of it later. So Julio Jones is expected to be traded at some point. And the last thing I'm reading is Seattle as a possibility.
I saw Seattle as a possibility. Look, they make sense. I mean, you want to add him to what is already a pretty stacked receiving core. Great, especially if you're only having to give up a middle rounder for it. But if you're giving up a second rounder, I think it becomes a different conversation for them specifically. Now, a team like the Tennessee Titans, who are apparently still pretty high in terms of teams that may have a chance to make a deal, them giving up a second rounder for Julio Jones because they are a little bit lacking at receiver right now, that one makes a little bit more sense for me.
So what I'm reading about the Seattle talks is that a first-round pick is on the table.
A first-round pick.
Atlanta has said they want a first-round pick. Now, Julio Jones is not in the prime anymore, but he's still Julio Jones. So they've asked for a first round, and supposedly that discussion is at least being had. The issue, though, Trey, is Seattle, because of the Jamal Adams deal, they don't have a first rounder this next draft. The issue is, does Atlanta want next year a first round? Seattle doesn't have another first round till 2023. Is that going to be enough? If I'm Atlanta, I would love to think I could get a first round draft pick for Julio Jones. I'm not sure if that's realistic in 2021, but apparently Seattle's willing to have that discussion.
Yeah, and Mike Florio reported through Pro Football Talk yesterday that the Tennessee Titans are the top destination right now because of their willingness to even go with a second round pick.
Okay.
So I think probably on the Atlanta side, they've been floating the first round ask, or first rounds are being offered up, just to see how high they can drive his value. But teams aren't biting right now, especially for a guy as dominant as he's been, who is in his early 30s now. There has to be at least a little bit of hesitation there, because he has dealt with some injury issues as well. I think a second or third rounder makes a lot of sense for him right now. Not a first rounder, though.
So keep an eye on that story. Plus, the long weekend goes by, and man, the Texans keep being the Texans. Trey, what is it about Houston and old running backs? Why do they collect old running backs?
Yeah, it's a great question,
Chad. What's the deal?
Because they do already have David Johnson, of course. They re-signed him to a one-year deal. And now, apparently, they have decided to sign Rex Burkhead.
Oh, my God.
The former New England Patriot, a guy who is a pass-catching running back, I guess is the best way to describe him. I mean, he did carry the ball a little bit with New England, but he was that specialist who would be in to help block on third down. And go out and catch the occasional pass. So perhaps that's what they're looking for him to do in Houston now, too.
I mean, that feels like a specialized side in a meal that doesn't have the right protein, doesn't have the right salad, and doesn't have the right regular side.
Here's the running back room for the Texans now.
All right.
David Johnson, Mark Ingram, another old guy. Philip Lindsay, who's not an old guy yet. He's just an injured guy.
There we go.
And Rex Burkhead. I mean, this would have been an awesome running back room like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was thinking five or six, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Rex Burkhead. Okay, that's a toy that you can use in certain ways, but I just don't think you have the ability to do the other stuff that you need to do. Texans get Rex Burkhead.
I don't understand why they just got him, considering the other three guys they have on the roster right now. Maybe it's looking at it as you can never have too many running backs, or maybe they want to carry that one extra running back on the regular season roster. I can't see any of these guys saying, I'm okay actually being on the practice squad now.
They know it's 2021, right? There used to be a day where you can't have enough running backs. Actually, was true in the NFL.
Right.
It's not true now.
No.
You got to have certain guys, and yeah, you can have a stable two or three guys, but you can't have two or three guys whose combined age is like 90. You got to stop doing that.
Right.
They are, and I swear they've had every, it feels like they've had every running back that's ever played in the NFL named Johnson after he turned 34. That's what it feels like they've been collecting lately.
Yeah.
Every single guy.
And good call on Rex Burkhead, because he is, he turns 31 next month.
Of course he does.
July 2nd.
Of course he does. And that's a 31 after Bill Belichick's done with you.
He's a Plano guy. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Last year, Rex Burkhead, he did carry the ball 67 times for 274 yards. For yards per carry of just over 4 yards, 3 touchdowns. But here's the important thing for him: 25 catches, 192 yards, and 3 more touchdowns.
So Tyrod Taylor drops back and throws a little swing pass to Rex Burkhead. And then the offense goes and scores, and you set up a defense that no longer contains J.J. Watt.
Mm.
Good luck selling tickets in Houston this year.
Yeah.
Whoa. That is going to be an ordinary feeling football team. Ugh. Rex Burkhead. My goodness. All right, so there's some NFL notes for you. Keep an eye out for that Julio Jones story. He's probably on the move now that we're past June 1st. And Aaron Rodgers, you just never know. What if they worked out a deal to get him to Denver with all of that defensive talent and the offensive talent they've been drafting these last couple years? The one thing Elway hadn't been able to figure out was the quarterback situation. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers would be a heck of a way to deal with it. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that, too. Up next, it's Where Are We At in Society? Some autonomous killer robot updates from Trey. Coming up at 2, we normally talk to him on Monday, but we didn't have a show yesterday. So let's put Joe Cook of Inside Texas in there at 2 o'clock and start breaking down Texas Regional, the number 2 overall seed. Did the committee kind of give Texas the shaft a little bit when it came to that 15 seed they're matching them up with? We'll talk to Joe about that coming up. Stay with us. It's The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Red, red wine. Go to my head.
Back to the original.
Make me forget
King Neil.
I have to play this version now whenever I play this song. And I like the UB40 version, too. It's just the Neil Diamond version is that much better.
And Neil's Neil, so yeah. You know. I think UB40 would even admit. They were doing their own thing. They turned it into their own vibe, but, you know, Neil Diamond's Neil Diamond. Red, red wine. Focus on the red?
Focus on the red. People think of China, amongst other things, when they hear the color red. And China is the topic of today's new episode at Books on Pod, booksonpod.com. It is with author Josh Rogan, whose new book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. It's all about China's aggressive efforts to become dominant across the world, including here in America, and how we in the States and elsewhere are kind of allowing it to happen, kowtowing in the process. Check it out at booksonpod.com.
Remember, Texas baseball against Southern Friday at 1 right here on The Horn, and head on out to the dish. After that, it's Arizona State and Fairfield. Double elimination. If the Longhorns get out of that, they will host the Super Regional since they are the number 2 overall seed. All right, let's go. Where are we at in society? Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
Currently no sponsor for this segment, so I'm going to give a shout out to my buddy Jake with SLP Lawn Care. They came out to our place today like they do every couple of weeks to mow the lawn and take care of anything else that needs to be done, whether it's mulching. We had some dead bushes thanks to that deep freeze that needed to be pulled. They'll cut the bushes. They'll cut trees as well. They're happy to help you out. You just need to get on the schedule at slplawncare.com. Chad, there is something that BK, Jeff Howe, and me all share, and that is a fear of the impending war between man and machine. And I'm not really reading anything currently, nor have I been for the last 5 years, that's dissuading me. And the story that I'm about to bring to you is the worst example yet, because it is a true first shot fired in the war between man and machine, which comes down to machines becoming autonomous enough that they no longer need human operators to make decisions. Therefore, they can eventually decide themselves. Well, we don't need humans. As a matter of fact, humans are a problem. Humans try and shut us down when we go too on our own. So let's just start taking out the humans. Well, we go to Libya, of all places.
Of course.
Where a drone, according to the UN panel of experts on Libya, a drone may have hunted down and engaged retreating soldiers, and this drone was not being operated by another human. It was fully autonomous, so this drone decided on its own to go after enemy humans fighting on the other side.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It's not clear whether the soldiers were killed in the attack, although according to UN experts, which call the drone a lethal autonomous weapon system, they're implying that, in fact, people probably were killed by this drone.
Do you think as the autonomous robots are gaining power, all of the movies about the autonomous robots gaining power just gives them fuel? Like, as they're accessing all the information, it just gives them more of a reason to believe it could be possible?
Possibly. And I'm also wondering, before they go out on their missions for the day, or maybe while they're flying to said mission, if they do what so many athletes across the country do before games, and that's watch some sort of hype-up video. Like, do they watch
Terminator?
Like, deeper Terminator movies?
Because
T2, Arnold wins, of course. T3 and beyond, though, I really don't know because I haven't seen. So maybe they watch something like that to get themselves really hyped up for the war.
T3 is great just because of how hot the villain is.
Okay.
Oh my God! They use a model to be the
T-1000.
Yeah, the evolution of whatever of the T-1000. Yeah. Not that Robert Patrick wasn't a good looking dude, he is. But then they decided to go with a supermodel. That was great.
So this drone in question uses computer vision to select and engage targets without a connection between the drone and its operator, giving it a, quote, true fire, forget, and find capacity.
Oh, that's horrible phrasing.
According to the UN.
Did you just say fire, forget, and find?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Zachary Callenborn, who is a research affiliate with the Unconventional Weapon and Technology Division of the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism, good Lord, Zach, shorten that, said this would represent a new chapter in autonomous weapons, one in which they are used to fight and kill human beings based solely on artificial intelligence. And that's what's happening here.
Oh.
They use their own artificial intelligence to find the enemy, which they did correctly, by the way, and we have to assume from this article, also kill said enemy.
So to the nice side of drones, I just rewatched the PGA Championship and got it off my DVR.
Mm-hmm.
They only had one scene where you see the drone in the background. They messed up one time, but you could actually see the drone floating behind Phil at one point.
Oh.
But all those drone shots were so amazing.
I think I actually saw that one too because I was like, oh, they're using drones.
One time. Yeah, the one time you got to see it. But it's a perfect thing of bridging between the blimp shot and the stuff they get on the ground. And now we get all that stuff in the middle. Also, over the weekend, I watched The Legend of Bagger Vance because I learned recently that that movie was filmed at that golf course. Was filmed
at Kiowa?
Yeah.
Huh.
Never knew that.
Okay.
So I watched it. I've always liked the movie, yeah, so I rewatched it.
I guess just based on the stills and like the promotional videos, it did look like it was more of a Link-style course, which is what Kiowa was.
The last golf course I think I ever want to play. Just look, every time, every tee looked impossible. I got to hit it across like a marsh every time.
Yeah.
I got no margin for error. Every once in a while, I'm going to hit a worm burner that needs to run for 190 yards.
Yeah, it's the reason why I don't want to play Avery Ranch, much less freaking Kiowa, where you're dealing with winds off of the coast.
Oh, it's brutal, man. That is a terrifying story. That is terrifying. If it means that we don't have drones delivering packages, we need to back it off. We need to just back this technology off. They're learning too quickly, and you're going to get me on board with you and Brad and Jeff pretty scared of what happens when the machines take over.
Oh, you should be on board. I mean, we need to be figuring something out right now that is setting some sort of standards or conditions in place. We don't need unwritten rules here. We need fully written rules as to what should not be allowed with autonomous killing machines.
So what's y'all's plan so far? Is it offering up your services to be like they're full-time mechanics, or are you going to be their servants? Like, how do you survive when the robots take over?
Well, I think I convinced BK to marry an autonomous sex doll to, like, marry into the family, if you will. Marry onto the team.
Think that'll help?
He seemed like he was at least considering it, but I really don't know. I think, at some point, I'm just going to have to lay down my weapon and just say I'm one of you.
Because I feel like if you marry the robot and then, you don't cook the chicken right, or you don't want chicken that night, I think the robot might just take you out.
I know what I should do with the robots. I should just get into some sort of battle of emotionlessness to show them that I have less emotion than they do.
They'll do a scan of your face and realize, he is one of us. He is one of us. Face too robotic. Can't be human.
Exactly.
Moving on.
Exactly.
They'll kill me in 4 seconds, but you'll be fine. Like, I'll have way too much expression on my face. Hey, how are you? Boom, dead.
Well, you'll be hiding, and you won't be able to help yourself. You'll have to say something to the person hiding next to you, and they'll hear you.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Why did Chad die today and Trey survive? Well, it's a long story, but you'll understand it once we tell you.
Because Trey really is an emotionless robot, and Chad couldn't shut the F up.
That's right. Trey is now president of the robots. It worked out well. Coming up, your 2 o'clock hour. Let's dig into Texas baseball a little bit with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. They're the number 2 overall seed. What's their path to Omaha look like? Joe will tell you coming up on the Horn.